Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic community at Stanford University. These are a series of podcasts of Sunday homilies, reflections, and occasional talks given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Nathan Castle, OP, Director Pastor of the Catholic community. It is the sixth Sunday of Ordinary Time. The readings are from Cycle B.
Our faith teaches us that the incarnation, the coming of Jesus to the earth that we celebrate at Christmas, and everything that we see in him subsequently, teaches us about what God looks like from our point of view, from a human point of view. We learn face to face, one person to another, what God is really like. In the early chapters of Mark, we barely get to meet Jesus at all. There's no story of him being a baby or a child. He simply arrives on the scene as an adult, being baptized, being told by a voice, "You are my son. You're beloved to me." I believe that that line is in the gospel not just because it was true of Jesus, but more importantly because it's true of you and me. The point is that we all hear the same voice speaking to us, specifically to us, saying, "You're my daughter. You are my daughter. You're my son. And I love you." That can be especially important if you didn't hear that from parents. Sometimes they just weren't capable of it. "You are my son. You're my daughter. And I love you. I'm so pleased with you." He soon begins confronting dark forces. There's demons in chapter 1. He starts calling a few people toward him. In fact, John the Baptist directs a few of his followers that way and say, "There's the Lamb of God, follow him." And a few of them, by name, do. Before long, Andrew has invited his brother Peter. Peter has come along and invites Jesus into his own house. And he no sooner enters the house than finds that there's illness in the family. Peter's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever. We get to see what God in the flesh wants to do. He comes right up to this woman who is ill and touches her. And the fever leaves her. And then it says, she immediately waited on him. She diakonied, and the word is the same word that we have from deacon. She does more than just get up and make a snack. She does that, but in the service of the grand mission that she's now swept into, she's going to be following him and serving him in ways that we couldn't possibly know. In today's story, it's a leper. And we've heard in the reading that's paired with it, the one from Leviticus, the way that they decided to deal with this problem of leprosy and contagion. That was to separate out those with leprosy and make them live outside the camp, make them look obviously sick, disheveled hair and raggedy clothes. They even had to shout, "I'm unclean, I'm unclean." Someone would fix them dinner and bring it, put it on a particular rock, and wave at them from a distance, and let them come and get their food. A guy shouts out at Jesus, "Jesus, you can heal me." That can mean two things, and I think they're both in play. I believe you have the power to. You are able to. You can heal me. And it also, I think, can mean, I give you permission to. You can and you may heal me if you want to. If you want to. If you want to. And he says, "I do want to, And he moves across that space you're not supposed to cross. And he comes up to the man and in front of other people touches him. I do want to heal you. Be made clean. And the text tells us he was made clean. In Mark, everything happens immediately. He's immediately made clean. And Jesus immediately tells him, I only want you to go and tell the priest, because that would be the way to get him back in the community. He could live inside the camp. No more of this living out among the rocks. But Jesus knows that he's now made himself unclean by touching a leper. And the text ends with this cryptic little line that the guy doesn't go to the priest and doesn't reestablish contact with the community. He just kind of blows out of the place and tells everybody that'll listen, I've been made clean. And then it says, Jesus could no longer enter a town. I always thought that was just because the crowds were getting bigger and bigger, and there was that all that ruckus that happens when the crowd gets so big that they have to peel somebody's roof off. The crowds are so big he can't enter a town. That's part of it. The other part of it is that he's unclean. He just touched a leper. He does something like that again in John's gospel. Almost in on the last week of his life, there's this dead friend. Remember Lazarus? There's this tomb. It's on the outskirts of Jerusalem. People have heard he's coming. The forces that he's opposing in the temple are there to watch. They're looking for a reason to accuse and even arrest him. His dead friend Lazarus is in this tomb, and he says, I'm going there to heal him. But Lord, he's been dead 4 days. And there's even that very pungent next phrase. There will be a stench. It's going to stink. He's begun to rot. To which Jesus just says, roll away the stone. He does that crying. I think there are foreshadowing with the tears we're going to see just a little bit later in the narrative on the night before he dies, when his sweat is like drops of blood and he's crying out, oh God, can't you spare me this? I don't want to go to the cross, but not my will, yours be done. So it's a very different vision of God. Sometimes when we pray to God for healing, we imagine a perfectly whole potentate in the sky, the one who makes all the decisions down here, and we're asking a favor of a disembodied other somewhere else. But in the ritual, Jesus asks that we remember that he wants to get in the yoke with us, like oxen that are bound together, like a team of horses. I'll get in this illness with you, and I'll pull with you. I always tell people that when I anoint them in the hospital. Don't think you're laying here in this bed all by yourself, especially when you wake up in the middle of the night, can't sleep. Remember that as a believer, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are baptized into you. It's crowded in this bed. You're here with all the saints and angels if you want them to be here with you, and they'll pull with you. I anointed somebody recently who's 98, and in the last, what I thought was the last week of her life, although she's still going more than a week after I anointed her for her passing, I didn't expect her to bound up out of the bed, because the sacrament isn't just about body, it's also about mind and spirit. And Eleanor needs some encouragement about the journey ahead. Part of the time, this is about mind and spirit. Many of you are very intelligent about the body, and you do medical research. But I hope you have a reverence for the mystery that you study. I don't know how you couldn't. Because by the time you get another little factoid about our body, there's a million other questions, aren't there? We understand more and more because people like you keep teaching us more and more. But body, mind, and spirit, how they all interconnect. Wow, that's mystery territory. Can you make yourself salivate, for example? I can think of jalapenos. And it'll start. think of something that terrifies you, a fear of colossal failure on a grand scale, the memory of someone who assaulted you or offended you, can you get your blood boiling just by turning on to some negative thought? You get your endocrine system, and you can increase your pulse and your blood pressure. We're such a mystery. So when we do this anointing, we pray for a healing of body, mind, or spirit, and leave it to the Lord to figure out all the details.
Thank you for listening to Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic Community at Stanford University. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu. This is Father Isaiah Mary Milano OP, Associate Director, Parochial Vicar of the Catholic Community at Stanford, and the voice of Catholic Cardinal Reflections. Till next time, God bless you.